On a field 3.5 times bigger than an NFL field, 22 players on each team, a game of 4 quarters, approximately 30 minutes each, no timeouts, full contact and tackling, no pads, no helmets, a test of strength, speed, endurance, and athleticism. And yes, that guy was on the other guy's shoulders catching the ball. It's my favourite sport, Australian rules football. It's not rugby. It's not soccer. And it would take me too long to explain it all in detail. But it's a tough game. It's pretty brutal at times. There are injuries every weekend that end the season for players, especially when it comes to finals time. When the finals come around, it's all or nothing. There is blood spilled. Players vomit from exhaustion. And I ask myself the question when it's 3/4 of the way through the game, and they're so far behind, it's not funny. Why don't they just pack up and go home? Put your feet up, have a cup of tea, and relax. What does the coach say to this team that come in for the 3/4 time address to motivate them, to inspire them, to get back out there and go again when all they feel like doing is quitting? And you know what I love about this game, and I've seen it in the NFL too. A team can be so far behind at 3/4 time, and yet something happens. The switch flicks, and a different team comes out for the last quarter and blitzes the opposition to win, a miraculous win from behind. You know, life, in a lot of ways, is a lot like sport. And us as Christians, we go through those times when we are feeling beat up and exhausted, and we've expended all our energy and we've got nothing left and we just want to quit. The question I have for us this morning is, why should we persevere in our faith and our ministry to others when all we feel like doing is quitting? Would you turn with me to 1 Timothy? We're going to continue our series in 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Would you read with me from verse 11? 1 Timothy 6, starting at verse 11. Paul writes to Timothy and says this: "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Can we pray as we look into this text? And my prayer this morning is that as a coach inspires his players at 3/4 time to give it more, that God's word would inspire us to persevere as well. Let's pray. Father, you are our Father. You are our Almighty God as well. And you know the things that we go through. You know the difficulties we face, the pain we suffer, the battles we fight, day by day and week by week. And my prayer this morning, Lord, is that your word would bring encouragement, that it would help motivate us to keep going, that it would inspire us to persevere in our faith. And we ask this for your sake, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been going through the book of 1 Timothy, and we've seen the situation that Timothy finds himself in. In the church in Ephesus, there's a few problems. There are false teachers. And it's easy for us to think of false teachers as being those guys down the road from perhaps a different religion or a different sect or group. But these were false teachers in the church at Ephesus, among his leadership team. There were men and women fighting and usurping the authority of the leaders. It seems that there were widows, godly older women with no one to take care of them, who were not being taken care of by the church. And there were others who were taking advantage of, unnecessarily being a burden on the church's finances. It seems perhaps from chapter 5 that there were some elders even that were living sinfully. There were people, we heard about last week, seeking leadership in the church for their own financial benefit. They were greedy. Can you imagine how Timothy would be feeling? We're often told that Timothy is a younger man. Perhaps these people that were living these lifestyles, perhaps some of them were older, intimidating, scary. And Timothy is given the task of sorting some of these things out. It's amazing in the book of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy how many times Paul says, come on, Timothy, let's get up, let's keep going, press on. It's real encouraging words. And I get the feeling that perhaps Timothy, up against all this negativity, was starting to feel like packing up and going home. Perhaps Timothy was thinking about quitting. And Paul writes this personal letter. And as he builds and builds, I think his encouragement hits a real high point in the passage that we're looking at today. It's kind of like it's building to a crescendo. And I want to suggest that Paul reminds Timothy of three things to help encourage him and inspire him to keep going. Firstly, Timothy, don't quit. Remember who you are. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Paul reminds Timothy that he is a man of God. Timothy, you're a man of God. You're a believer. You're a Christian. You're not like these others. You're a follower of Christ, a disciple. You're a Christian leader. You've been sent with authority from the Apostle Paul, and you're a shepherd and a leader of these people. Timothy, who you are affects what you do. Who you are affects how you live, and who you are affects how you lead these people. Timothy, you're a man of God. Paul instructs Timothy to flee these things and pursue these good things. Don't be like these false teachers, these sinful elders, these argumentative and divisive and greedy people seeking power and position, selfishness. Flee these things. How? By pursuing the good. Pursue righteousness. Pursue godliness. Pursue your faith. Pursue love. Perseverance. Gentleness. Why? Why pursue these things? Because of who you are. Because you're a man of God. we go through difficult times. We face battles day by day, week by week. Some of us face long, hard struggles. When you face those difficulties, remember who you are and pursue righteousness. Don't pursue your rights. Pursue what is right. You know, when I feel like, I have those times too, when I feel like I'm a lousy Christian. My Christian life is just stinking at the moment. I'm not doing the things I know that I want to do. I'm failing. I don't want anybody to see what I'm doing. I just want to quit. When I feel like that, like we all do, I need encouraging. I need to be reminded of who I am. I am a loved and redeemed child of God. Amen. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to read you something. This is a declaration of who I am, but it's, I don't want to sound arrogant because it's who I want to be, really. Because it's not me all the time. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The die has been cast. The decision has been made. I've stepped over the line. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I will not look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, love by patience, live by prayer, and labor by power. My pace is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide reliable. My mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, nor hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will not give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've prayed up, preached up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Jesus Christ. I must go until He returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He comes to get His own, He will have no trouble recognizing me. My colors are flying high. They are clear for all to see. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I read that and I'm reminded of who I really am and want to be, I'm inspired. I want to get up and go again. I hope this is something that can inspire you. We've put it in the bulletin, so you've all got a copy. Maybe you could tuck it away in the back of your Bible, and when you need it, you can get it out and read it. Why should you keep going when you just want to quit? Because you are a man or a woman of God. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. The second thing that Paul reminds Timothy of is verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Paul reminds Timothy of his public confession. And there's discussion as to whether this is his salvation and baptism confession or whether this is his ordination commissioning confession. But you know what? It doesn't matter. What's important is, what is the confession? And it's interesting because Paul uses these words, good confession, here in verse 12, but then he uses it again in verse 13. He says, Jesus made the good confession before Pilate. And I thought, what good confession was that that he made before Pilate? So I looked it up. And in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when Jesus is talking to Pilate, Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And four times Jesus says, "Yes." That's the confession he makes to Pilate. The confession that Jesus made is the confession that Timothy made, that Jesus is Lord and King. Paul reminds Timothy, says, "Timothy, you made a public confession that Jesus is your Lord and King. In the presence of many witnesses, you confessed him as Lord and King." And that public confession in the front of many witnesses does two things. It holds Timothy accountable. He made that confession. But it also provides support. See, there are people who heard that confession, and when Timothy's down, they can come alongside and pick him up and remind him of the commitment and the confession that he made. Timothy, you're committed to this. You're not committed just to a cause or a project or a hobby or interest. You are committed to a king. And yes, it's difficult. But you know what? You're on the winning team. So Paul instructs Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and take hold of eternal life. And this word for fight is not just have a fight and then walk away. Another word we could use is struggle. It's an ongoing fight, an ongoing struggle. Timothy, keep on struggling. Persevere. Keep going. It's a long season. And it's a fight of faith. It's a fight against sin. A fight against temptation. A fight against becoming comfortable and taking the easy way out. It's a fight sometimes just not to quit. Tells him to take hold of eternal life. And you scratch your head and you go, but he's a Christian. He's already got eternal life. Why is he being told to go and grab it? I think the point is, yes, he's already got it. And he needs to remember it. He needs to keep his hand on the trophy. Keep his eyes on the prize. Hang on to what you've already got. There's a sense of confidence that comes knowing that it's yours already. Again, what about us? When we face discouragement and doubt, remember your public confession and fight the fight for faith and hang on. You know, I don't remember really when I first became a Christian. I kind of remember I was 5 or 6 or around that age, and I remember hearing a sermon, and then one night, as I knelt by my bed, I asked Jesus into my heart, hopped into bed and went to sleep. It's what you do when you're a little kid. I didn't tell anyone. It was just the normal thing to do. So I don't have a date. I can't remember exactly what age. But what I do remember is when I was 13, I was baptized in a backyard swimming pool at Mr. Hockridge's house. I made a public confession and said, "Jesus is my King, and I'm committed to that." And that holds me accountable because I'm a part of the body. I'm a part of the church. You guys can hold me accountable to that. When you see me doing what I shouldn't be doing, you hold me accountable. And when I'm down and discouraged, you pick me up. You support me. You encourage me. We do that for one another. There is a powerful thing about a public confession. It's why baptism in particular is so important as well. We saw a fantastic example of that last week. And it was announced that there's going to be another baptism service coming up. My challenge, my encouragement to you this morning, if you haven't made that public confession, I know it's scary. think that's part of the point. Would you consider making this public confession? Yes, it will hold you accountable, but it will also encourage you as we can support you in it. Why should you keep going when you just want to quit? Because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ and because you made a public confession. There's a third thing. Timothy, don't quit. Remember, the King is returning. Verse 13. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. You can almost hear Paul's voice getting louder and him getting more excited as he says these words. Paul reminds Timothy of the King that he's following and serving. And he says those words, I charge you. That's serious. I charge you in the presence of God, the creator of the universe, and in the presence of Jesus Christ, the King, I charge you. Keep these commandments until he returns. Keep going. Keep following. Keep serving. Keep loving, giving, shepherding these stubborn sheep. Keep going. Don't quit. Why? Because Jesus is going to return. Let's read again. Who is he? The blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality, dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Many times, the Christian life just feels like a long, hard struggle. But the good news, you can't lose. You can't lose. Yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's a fight. But you're on the winning team. Christ is your King and you can't lose. You can lose your life. You can lose the battle one day. But ultimately, you can't lose. You know, when the Aussie footballers come in at three-quarter time and they're feeling beat up, and they're bleeding, and they're exhausted, they're just ready to hit the showers and quit. They're behind on the scoreboard. There's no hope. The coach, if he's a wise coach, sits them down. And he says, guys, I need you to remember. You are a football player. It's what you do. It's who you are. You play for this jersey. You play for this club, this team. There are 21 other guys counting on you to play your part. And there are thousands in the stands. You've made a public declaration of your colours. And he points at the clock and he says, there's 30 minutes left to claim the victory and to make history. How are we going today? How are we doing? You know, I look out in this auditorium and I see people I know who are struggling. some just for this past week, some for a long time. And it's hard. We need to help each other. We need to encourage each other. Many of us have been traveling a long, hard road lately, and we are in the need of encouragement, inspiration, motivation. Like Timothy, we need to be reminded. Why should you keep going when you just want to quit? Because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because you have made a public confession. You're part of the team. And because your King is returning. I want to finish with a video clip that's going to lead us into a time around the Lord's table. I've chosen a video clip because this guy can say it so much better than I can. And I could sit and watch this clip every day. It's a guy called Reverend S.M. Lockridge. Some of you have seen this before. I want to show this, hoping that it will inspire you and encourage you to keep on going, keep on fighting the good fight. And it reminds us, in particular, of who we're following.
The Bible says, my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.